Everybody, welcome to Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside. Take you to three, handed off to our good friend Phil Benatti's fine show behind the bench. Normally 3 to 6, but on Mondays this time of year, 3 to 5, because at 5 o'clock it's time for Monday Night Football from Westwood One, which means for us Major Wager Monday. Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Carter and the gang there. Great time, good ball game tonight. The Chiefs finding their offense again, and the Jags, of course, riding high after their win in the Bay last week. They will kick it off in Jacksonville around 5:15, so stop on by me and Ed's Victory Grill. Check out the telecast, listen to the radio feed if you can, and great giveaways and a wonderful time there. Terrific food, obviously, as well, in me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota. I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule. A very busy week for us because of Major League Baseball. By the way, we're about an hour away on 790 from getting started with two games from the National League NLDS Series. So it'll be Ed Dunkel allowing me the time a little bit later through his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, to tell you about the upcoming schedule. Again, Precision Civil Engineering, talk about it each and every day. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. We'll tell you about it a little bit later on. Tell you also the fine fundraising it does for his alma mater, Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering. Paul with me on a Monday. We'll get to him in just a second to talk about the weekend that was, another Bulldog win, and a lot of questions, as you might imagine, about the way they won it. But one more time, when we left air on Friday with Brian Panish, what Brian said was, just win, baby. And I said, thanks, Al. Well, you know what? Al Davis would be proud of Fresno State because they just win. That's all they do. It's not pretty, but they are winning. And I will address the emails and talk to Paul about exactly where this team is at. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, as always, are the lead dogs. Want to spend some time with you. First, everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been in the Central Valley in NorCal since 1981. See the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. And they allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Also, they bring guests like Paul Leffler up on the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. That's how you can call Phil directly from the general public and ask questions during his show. As far as the forecast goes, talk about it many, many times. This is the best time of year in the Central Valley of California, and the next 7 days prove that out. Right now, 88 today, 90 tomorrow, then 86, 80, 79, 75, 76. Slight chance of rain toward the end of the week, mainly in the North Valley. We'll see how that updates. But right now, the lows right around 60 and the highs are just perfect. So enjoy it out there. Have a good time. But obviously be careful no matter what you might be doing, as a lot of people, of course, have been going to the fair and checking that out as well, and there's still a week or so to go with that. So anyway, good forecast. Enjoy it. Bulldogs, of course, were on the road Friday, Fort Collins, and that'll be a 6 o'clock kick, and we'll see how the weather plays out. It won't be as nice there, more than likely, as it is here. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, 825-5337, 825-Lees, or leesair.com for more information. The other reminders, want to thank our great sponsors at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They do so much to benefit the Valley and athletics in particular, and they always have great specials going on, and we're going to have more specials coming along. But what I want to remind you about right now about KFC, you've got always the Tuesday $10 eight-piece bucket or chicken tenders. You've always got the $5.99 country fried steak deal on Wednesdays and a lot of other specials we'll tell you about a little bit later in the week. But they do a lot to benefit everybody here in the Valley, and we're very proud to have them aboard. So if you stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman, tell them thanks for being part of this solution around Fresno State and the Valley itself in regard to athletics. The other reminder comes from a longtime friend, and that is Joe Cruz and his fine business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe affords me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. But first, I want to tell you about the business itself, Superior Pipe, right there for you if you're someone who's working at a plant, maintenance person, anybody who works around a valve. If a valve goes down, your business goes down in a big hurry. Joe has the best components, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, everything in-house at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Also, you can give him a call directly at 266-7473 for more information, which is 266-PIPE, or on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe Mullins, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Stop on in or give Joe or Gabe a call. Tell them what your issues might be. And not only do you have the Superior components, but you have a family-friendly business with a same-day operation for you so we can identify your problem and get it solved in a big hurry, because if you wait and a valve goes down, it can be catastrophic to your bottom line. And so Joe is well aware of it. Stop in, tell him what you need. He'll line you up and make sure he gets it taken care of as quickly as possible. And also, while you're there, if you have some time, he will tell you what he has done now with his business celebrating his 25th anniversary with such great success. Tell you what he's done for three decades plus in regard to being a fine and prominent booster at Fresno State. And he would mention to you, if you stop in, that the best avenue right now is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. It'll take you to BulldogFoundation.org. Information is there for BDF membership. And then also you have the other subheaders. The giving societies are there, meaning the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle, information for that. Or you've also got your ways to give, which will have links to methods of support telling you exactly how you can benefit the university. Also, the sports clubs are there and the Valley Co-op, which is critically important for operation and retention of players and all the things that have a lot to do, but not specifically NIL monies, but it certainly is part of it. It will channel you in the way to benefit your particular giving to wherever you want it to be. And in regard to the sports clubs, the individual clubs are there for instance, quarterback club for football, your money goes directly there. Or timeout club for men's basketball, the banquet coming up now on the 13th. Jack Furtick, board of directors, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball. They'd love to have more members. He said you can call him directly, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com, for more information. Also, links are there for other men's sports, like the Dugout Club, for instance, for baseball. Women's sports as well. Check it out under Ways to Give Sports Clubs. Everything is there for you. Also, there's information for tickets and parking and other things on campus under the header that is part of those links. It'll say more. Click on that. It'll take you to that as well. So it's right there, one-stop shopping, if you will, if you want to benefit the university at GoBulldogs.com. And as we mentioned before, everything in-house now in regard to NIL, the Valley Co-op. We saw what Vance Wahlberg has done now. We talked about it last week. $1 million to his program for retention of athletes, for operation, etc. So if you want to help, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. And if you stop by, Joe Cruz will remind you what he has done and tell you what he would hope you would be able to do for Fresno State. It's a terrific business, and we appreciate Joe and everything he does and has for a long time for this show and for the station as well. Anyway, thanks to everybody, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, Ed Dunkel, and everybody at Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe, and Stainless Supply, all terrific people right now moving forward in one direction, and that is to move Fresno State into prominence as we get through the final year of the Mountain West and get ready for a very competitive Pac-12 season starting next year. And keep in mind, in the pack, not done yet. You're at 8, but at some point it's going to go well beyond that. So this is a growing conference. They're going to want to finish strong this year in the Mountain West, but get ready, of course, for next fall. It's going to be very interesting when we kick it off for 2026. All right, all that having been said, let's turn to our longtime friend and longtime voice here, Bulldogs. It is Mr. Paul Leffler, our Monday visitor forever and a day. I think originally Paul was with me on Thursday morning, talked baseball only about 25 years ago. He's still a very young guy. I'm, of course, heading to 70, which means, in the immortal words of Mike Tyson, I'm headed to Bolivian. But let's bring Paul up right now. Paul, how you doing?
Wow, Tony, taking me down memory lane. Shades of the great Rob Emler in our old simulcast from women's basketball in the North Gym.
Well, that's a long time. That is a long time ago. Good Lord.
I heard you say One Direction, but I thought you were more of a Backstreet Boys kind of guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah, that's me, all right. I was like, I'm not even going to bother getting into it. I'm like Pete Best of the Beatles. Okay, that was me to the Backstreet Boys. I was the unknown Backstreet Boy, Paul. That's all there is to it. I'll tell you what, you bring that up. I had forgotten. If people don't know that at one point when, Paul, you hadn't been long in town, right? I mean, and Paul had the wonderful job of doing the pre-games for simulcast because I had the radio responsibility. And so Paul would actually have to do pre-games for two games when the first game wasn't done. Am I correct with that? Is that what it was, Paul?
Don't pull back the veil now, Tony. I mean, it's been 25 years, and the secret hasn't gotten out, so let's keep it that way.
It hasn't that the Saturday pregame was actually done on Thursday. Okay. I think people would forgive us. That was a very, very long time ago, the old vaunted simulcast, yeah. It was a good time. And Rob, by the way, is a great guy. Rob Emler, I'm glad you brought him up. I haven't talked to Rob in a while. All right, Paul, look, I want to get to email land here and mention, and guys, I won't go over specifically your emails because I don't have time to do that, but to Rick, and by the way, Rick, I like the fact that you're equating Fresno State to the Giants with torture. That was when the Giants were winning, and as long as they won, it was okay. Robert, I understand your point of view about Fresno State. It's got to get better if they're going to win the conference title. Phil, I don't know what in the world was going on with the scoreboard. I never know what's going on with the referees. Dave, I will address Phil Knight at some point and how much money he spends on new uniforms for Oregon, probably more than most schools spend on their program, period. And Steve, you're right, a win is a win, and that is the bottom line. And then finally, JJ, that was a tremendous email, JJ, and I'll try to get to it during the week. But I do want to mention to you, Paisan, you are right about the situation that Matt Entz was in starting this year, and without question, it is the win-now mentality in his work so far. So we're going to get to all of that with Paul. But first, before I go any farther, and I don't want this to become a cause célèbre, and I know that we are an ESPN affiliate. You know, I brought ESPN in here in the 90s, for goodness sake, so I still get phone calls from people. back either from Dallas or Burbank or Bristol or Charlotte or all the places where they have different outlets of ESPN the way they produce it. Paul knows it because he worked a lot of games for ESPN. But sometimes they get mad at what I say. I'm going to say this one time. The executive producers of the late night, the final gun Sports Center, which means the final college game of the week. In this case, it was Cal and Duke. It came up, and the lead for Sports Center, which then repeats all night long and into Sunday morning, so it's a big deal. The lead was Jerry Neuheisel and UCLA's upset of Penn State. That's fine. And that we understand why Jerry Neuheisel is a big deal, just becoming a play caller for the first time as an OC, and, of course, the son of Rick Neuheisel, who was a great quarterback at UCLA, and we know Rick and all the stuff that he did coaching-wise. But, Paul, I'm telling you, they put the story up, and they did not mention nor show Skip one single time. And that was absolutely inexcusable. It's unprofessional. It misleads people. It leads the rest of the country to believe that Jerry Neuheisel is the head coach at UCLA, and he is not. and it hacked me off to no end because Skip deserved credit for what happened, and Paul, they flat ignored it, and it was wrong, and they ought to be ashamed of themselves. If there's anything you want to say about it, go right ahead, and then we'll move to Fresno State.
You know, I've seen a lot of people commenting on social media about that, but I'll tell you, the one guy who's not been out of shape at all is Tim Skipper. And, you know, it took a lot of courage for him to give Jerry Neuheisel that opportunity. But, you know, you can, if you listen to our broadcast Saturday night, you heard Pat Hill talking about it a little bit because, you know, Pat's advice to Skip was who do you think will do the best job calling the plays? And, you know, the answer was Neuheisel, even though he's never done it before. But he's grown up around the game. You know, he and Skip have a lot in common. They're both coaches, kids who've been around it for a long time. Skip, you know, obviously had a better playing career, but he gets it, and there's trust there. And, you know, I think what we saw in the Rose Bowl on Saturday, the road to that moment was paved in Fresno State season last year. Tim Skipper had a lot of situations that weren't exactly ideal. You know, he had his dream opportunity to have a chance to prove himself to be Fresno State's coach. But it wasn't a blank slate. It wasn't an ideal opportunity. He didn't get to pick his staff. He didn't get to replace himself as a coach. Didn't get to replace Jeff Tedford as a quarterback influencer. Really didn't have the authority to make the kind of changes that he's making at UCLA now. So when he gets this opportunity again, he says, you know what, this time I'm going to do everything I can to make some changes and to take some chances. And look no further than the onside kick after they score the touchdown. I mean, if that doesn't say taking chances, I don't know what does. And then at the end, you know, right down to didn't take the safety against Hawaii last year and afterwards probably wished he had. And, you know, to me that shows a guy who's learning, who isn't stubborn, who says, yeah, I'm going to make sure that all these experiences are worthwhile and valuable. And in that case, they take the safety, they win the game. I think he proved to a lot of people what kind of leader he is, what kind of motivator he is. And to me, it's a testament to the same thing we're seeing at Fresno State right now, Tony. You know, your listeners, and there are a lot of them. I've heard from some of them lately. Rob sent me a message after the game the other night. He listens to you all the time. Dave Paul, I think, is one of your longest, most loyal listeners. I saw his wife, Wendy, a couple weeks ago, and she said they never miss a single episode of your show. You've got a lot of listeners, and some of them are, you know, are concerned, obviously, about how close some of these Bulldog victories are. And they should be, because, you know, you have to be better to beat Boise State on the blue. Probably going to have to be better to beat San Diego State the way the Aztecs are playing. But here's the big thing. You can look at the 5-1 start and the 5-game win streak, and there are three of those games that could have and would have gotten away if this team didn't have belief and trust. And that's a testament to the leadership of Coach Ent, to the cohesion of this coaching staff, to the trust that exists between players and coaches. When they've had game-on-the-line moments, offense, defense, and special teams, they've come through. We saw it at Oregon State. We saw it on the road again, you know, last time at Hawaii. And we definitely saw it when things tightened up against Nevada. I mean, they've got one third-down conversion the whole game, and they get two on the game-sealing drive, one of which required the quarterback to say, hey, I'm going to put my body out there no matter what it means. And when guys see their teammates doing those kinds of things, it fires them up. It just enhances and multiplies that belief. So I think this 5-game win streak is not about how pretty and how dominant the wins have been. It's about the fact that this team has found a way no matter what. And when a team builds that expectation, builds that mentality, builds that identity, then when they find themselves in another one of those situations, it almost feels like a foregone conclusion. They know it's going to happen, and they find a way to make it happen. So I think, to me, that's the most encouraging sign, not just for the 2025 Bulldogs, but for the program, that that's the kind of leadership that's in place.
Well, Paul, you're right. And, you know, it was brought up last week. We of course didn't have a lot of shows last week because of Major League Baseball commitments during the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday time. But, and by the way, I do want to mention again the Dodgers and the Phils coming up at 3:08 first pitch over on 790, and the Cubs and the Brewers will follow. So those games, you won't miss them. It's over on the sister station, the Deuce, today. Paul, one of the things that we have seen, and I brought up last week, is this odd parallel between Fresno State and the 49ers right now. They're both winning games that they could lose. I had mentioned the 4-1 49ers could easily be 0-5. They could also be 5-0 because the one loss certainly could and probably should have been a win. They did not finish the deal with Jacksonville. But the bottom line is it has come down to one play here or there, and you can paint it either way. You can either say, you know what, the pendulum, let's put it this way, you're on the cliff right now. You're either going to take a step back and not fall off, or you're going to be like a lemming to the sea and you're going to go flying off. You're not probably not going to stay where you are. You're not. I don't think it's possible for either the 49ers or Fresno State to continue this high wire act and get away with it every week. But right now, that handful of plays, and you talk about Pat Hill. Pat and I have had this discussion on and off the air a million times. Almost every game comes down to half a dozen plays. You make the majority of them, you win. Fail to do so, you lose. For instance, yes, the Bulldogs kept the ball away from Nevada for almost 9 minutes at the end of the game. That won the game for them. But on the possession Nevada had prior to that, Jones, who really shows that he can be a good quarterback, he had a third down decision to make on a read option. If he would have kept it, he had a lead block, and Paul, he might have scored because everybody went to the outside. He handed it to the back. Bulldog stuffed it. That resulted in the punt that Fresno State then took the last 8-plus minutes off the clock. Paul, those kinds of plays can lose you games if the other team executes. So like the 49ers, is Fresno State that good? Are they that resourceful? Do they have to get better, Paul? Is the magic going to run out? That's the question I keep getting. Is this sustainable without the Bulldogs starting to make it more than just a one- or two-play decision every week?
You know, to be conference champions, I do think that they have to get more consistent. On one hand, look at what the defense has done, you know, the last couple of weeks in terms of takeaways. I mean, to have four takeaways 2 weeks in a row, you're going to win a lot of ball games if you can do that, especially when you get four of them in the first half like they did against Nevada. That's a pretty good recipe for putting your team in position to win. Coach Ants talks about complementary football. And again, what they have is belief, trust, a winning expectation. And 5 weeks in a row, 5 games in a row, they found a way to do that. So I think that's not to be overlooked. There are teams that might have had more dominant performances over a 5-game stretch but haven't won 5 straight. So I think that's significant. Winning is what it's all about. It's not about how much you win by or how pretty your wins are. So they're doing the main thing. They're keeping the main thing the main thing. They're finding a way. But, yeah, I think they're going to have to be more consistent. Certainly, you know, you can't expect. I mean, think about from a Nevada standpoint. They've scored on back-to-back possessions, and they wish they made a different play call probably, or like you say, that the quarterback made a different decision. But when they punt that ball with 8:42 to go, there is no reason for them to think they're not going to get the ball back.
Right.
Fresno
exactly.
State was 1% on third downs at that point, so they don't expect a drive like that. But the Bulldogs summoned their best when it mattered most. And even that, you know, the play that Jaden Pearson made, to thwart the last possession. I mean, a loss of 5 yards when it's third and less than a yard, and Nevada's had success running between the tackles. Huge play. I don't know about the play call to run it outside there, but huge play by Pearson. You know, they're finding ways, so that's the most important thing. But, yeah, I think the way San Diego State is playing right now, you're probably going to need a more consistent effort to beat the Aztecs and certainly to win on the blue. We've seen how problematic that can be. But they're building momentum. And the job this week is find a way. Colorado State's having a miserable year. Their coach is on the hot seat. They were extremely fortunate to produce the one victory they have, which was at home over an FCS school from a couple hours away that thought it won the game, only to have the touchdown overturned by replay on a call that officials later said was the wrong call. So really, Colorado State should be winless right now. But I got to tell you, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility for the Rams to rally and win that game Friday. So the Bulldogs need to go focus. They need to get off to a good start. need that same kind of opportunistic defense we're seeing. And I thought one comment that Coach Entz made the other night was really telling. When he was asked about the defense producing all these takeaways, you know, he made the point that these guys are getting used to this defense. So now that they really know the defense, can feel the defense, they understand the scheme at such a greater level, now they can play faster. Their reactions are quicker. And I think that's making a difference. And, you know, defense wins championships. If they keep playing this kind of defense and can be consistent for four quarters with it, the Bulldogs are going to be in the mix for a Mountain West title.
You know, Robert had brought up, Paul, that the Bulldogs probably had a chance for four more turnovers in the game, and he's right. Thunderbird is all over the place, but he's having an extraordinary year. There probably were another four turnovers in Fresno State's grasp during that game. But the bottom line is, when they had to have it, as you said, they did. You cannot live on the edge the entire time. At some point, you know, it's going to bite you. You and I both know the way this schedule is set up, you can't afford to stub your toe. We've talked about this being part of the unfortunate history of Fresno State, having a game get away inexplicably that can mess up a season. This game on Friday would be a chief example. There is no reason that you shouldn't be able to go into Fort Collins and win. And if you can do that, then you've got the bye, and then you've got the critical back-to-back with San Diego State and Boise State, then another bye. But if this were to get away, Paul, you can erase almost all of it as far as the title hope, because you and I both know without divisional play, a loss anywhere can take you out. I think it's inevitable we're going to probably see, at least for second place in this conference, some sort of flat-footed tie decided by tiebreaker. I'd be very surprised if that's not the case. So, knowing Matt Entz and his singular focus, Paul, what is your confidence that there is no looking forward beyond Friday night for this team?
I'm pretty confident. You know, I think he's done a really good job of that, of getting his team focused on the matchup, of finding unique things. You know, one thing he and I have talked about the last couple of weeks is this philosophy of if you win the first of whatever it is, and then you win the next first and the next first. You know, they won their first conference game, their first road game. Now they won their first conference home game. It's going to be their first Friday game. It's their first altitude game. It's their first trip to Canvas Stadium, which has been there for almost a decade. I know that's hard to believe. So it's you know, without being artificial and trying to get a team up for every week with some kind of crazy hype, it's just realistic. And it's saying if you do the first of these, the first of those, the first of that, you're going to look up at the end and you're going to have a lot of 1-0s. And, you know, that's how you become the only team in the league right now that's 2-0. Now they got a chance to be the first to 3-0. And so they just need to keep doing what they're doing, you know, zero in on the matchup with Colorado State, play situationally great, and, you know, they're doing a lot of good things. A lot of good things are happening. And, you know, on top of that, man, having the 1985 team back 40 years later, seeing so many of those guys, see what the program still means to them, reminisce about how magical that season was, I know it means a lot to the current players and the future players to have that legacy so well connected at Fresno State. And, you know, hats off to the guys, Kevin Sweeney, Chris Pacheco, others who really were ringleaders to make that happen and get so many. I mean, when you have 40 guys back, that's a huge chunk of the team. And, you know, sometimes when you celebrate the great moments of the past, it fuels the great moments of the future, and that's certainly what I hope will come of that.
You bring up 85, Paul, and it actually was, I believe, the first week of October, as hot as I can remember ever. And I was talking to Chris about it because that was the tie. That was the only blemish, the tie at home against Hawaii. Otherwise, that 85 team was just a juggernaut, concluding with the blowout of Bowling Green and the Cal Bowl. But I had mentioned to Chris that I'd never been as hot as I was on the roof, which was not covered at that time, by the way, at the stadium. Completely different than it is now. But Chris had mentioned it on the field that it felt that way as well. You know, we had gotten to fall, but then it got really hot again. And sometimes even people that spend time in the Valley, Paul, have a little bit of trouble acclimating. And that game was the poster child to taking nothing for granted, because Fresno State was clearly better than Hawaii. And that's a lesson now, 40 years later, that Matt Entz, though he's not going to impart that because he wasn't around for it, can remind folks that Fresno State as a team in the locker room is a better football team than the Rams of Colorado State. But you never know, like you said, going to altitude. Also, Paul, you know it because you called it. The worst game that I can remember Fresno State playing was the interim status game in 2016 at Fort Collins. Can you think of a bitter, maybe the Wyoming game here, but can you think of a worse performance on the road since you've called games than that game at Fort Collins that particular afternoon?
Wow. I mean, there was a game at Toledo that was pretty bad.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. There was one at SMU, but that was before your time. That was really bad on Thursday night. Okay. Ask Pat. Because like Pat said, game at SMU.
Yep. Yes.
The game at SMU was when he could hear the damn Ferris wheel music from the county fair there, or the state fair, and he had enough of it. So at the old Cotton Bowl.
He sure could. That was a rough one. No, and that's not what's going to happen this time. I mean, this team is focused, purposeful. I think the team is growing. The chemistry is growing. You know, a lot of people that I've run into, I had the privilege today to be the, I'm using air quotes so all your listeners can see my air quotes. I had the privilege of being the celebrity golfer at the Daryl Rogers Memorial Golf Tournament that benefits Child Evangelism Fellowship. They're the ones who do the Good News Club, public schools throughout the Valley. And that was one of Coach Rogers' favorite causes. Some of his former players were out there today. But the player that a lot of the golfers coming through, because I was camped out on hole 16, only hit three balls in the water today. I won't tell you how many foursomes they were, because then you can do the math. But the green was touched at least once. It was a great day out there. But I bring that up to say the player that most of the golfers wanted to talk about today was Brandon Ramirez. And what he showed on that final drive. And give credit to the coaches for saying, you know, we're going to mix it up. We have different personnel with different talents. His skill set fits this situation. We want someone to go out there with toughness and ram the ball. And that's exactly what he did. And I think everybody wants to see a little more of number 31 now. And then think about what those two back sets do to the defense when they've seen him as more of a running threat and they don't know if he's running or blocking out there. I mean, I think good things are happening. The team is coming together. Look at the role Richie Anderson played in this game and how he's developed as a weapon. I mean, they don't win that game without big number 88. Josiah Freeman, a two-touchdown game, made some nice plays. E.J. Warner's getting more and more confident. And again, you know, they needed him to come through at Oregon State, and he did. They needed him to come through at Hawaii, and he did. They needed him to come through Saturday night. He got it done. So, you know, it's easy to say, well, they didn't do this, and he's not that, but what they're doing is winning. And five straight is nothing to shake a stick at. I fully expect them to become bowl eligible Friday night if they keep the same focus and mindset. There's a great team mentality building, and it's going to be fun to see where the ride takes them.
You brought up Richie. You know, we've kidded around on air. Stanford Steve McLaughlin, of course, was an outstanding tight end at Stanford, and now is the producer and has been for a long time for Scott Van Pelt with SVP, which is a terrific anchor SportsCenter show. And he is always saying, Scott, who's always open? And the answer, of course, is the tight end. Three critical tight end catches, Paul, on that last 8:42 drive. So the run game was there, but three times tight end. And you and I have talked about this really since Tedford left, trying to utilize the tight end more and more, because when you run the ball the way the Bulldogs want to run it, that tight end is going to be open, and Warner did find him. But I will tell you this, Paul, and you know it well, you can't have halves where you don't score and think you're going to get away with it in the long term. So how is this team going to solve some of the offensive issues here? And I do not want to take Colorado State for granted. You can't. You cannot lose this kind of game. You just can't. This kind of game, you can't do it. But we know, Paul, that after the bye, the back-to-back weeks with San Diego State at home on the 25th, and the Aztecs look a lot better now than they did right at the start of the year. And then Boise State, who is not great, but you're going to have to go on the Smurf turf. Almost invariably, this season is going to be decided in those two games. What is your level of confidence the Bulldogs are going to come out of those two games in a position to play for the conference title? How far does this team have to still mature offensively to make sure they can get past those two? Because if you lose them both, your goose is probably cooked.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing is to not get ahead and keep this one week at a time mentality. It's serving them well. And, you know, if they do get the first one done against San Diego State, and again, they need to get it done Friday night, short week, first altitude game for a lot of these guys. The ball does some different things. The weather looks great. Forecast is great. I don't think we have to worry about what UNLV dealt with in Laramie the other night.
Right.
But they're, you know, there'll be something new to get used to. So they do need to handle that challenge. And I think the San Diego State game becomes the biggest game of the year. That's going to sell out. There's no doubt in my mind that's going to be a sellout, putting Jeff Tedford in the Ring of Honor, the rivalry with the Aztecs and that oil can trophy on the line. And San Diego State showed a lot of improvement this year. They're making strides, and that's going to be a huge game. Then you get it down, and all of a sudden the Boise game becomes the biggest game of the year. Keep in mind, Boise also has to play UNLV. Those two play each other. The Dogs don't play the Rebels. So there's still a lot that's going to happen. I think the league is wide open. There is not a dominant force in the Mountain West this year. So a lot of times when you see that, the team that ends up emerging is the one that knows how to win close games. And right now that's Fresno State. I mean, the Bulldogs are winning close games. So, yeah, do they need to keep growing on offense? Absolutely. But, again, they're developing more guys, building trust. I mean, all the different receivers that are getting involved, how deep they are at running back. And I don't see guys. I mean, the first guy to congratulate Brandon Ramirez was Bryson Donaldson. So there's no jealousy there. There's no envy. These guys are all in it for each other. That's another thing, right? Maybe they have a bigger margin of victory if the touchdown Ramirez scored earlier doesn't get called back. I'm not sure what happened on that play. I didn't see it. And, you know, the O-line was playing without Braden Walton, first time for a full game. I think could have had a better performance, but will be challenged to do that this week in Fort Collins. They're moving in the right direction, and they're winning. So it's better to grow and learn in victories than in defeat. And if they get that sixth straight win and get bowl eligible, I can't wait to see that sellout crowd against the Aztecs on October 25th. And hopefully our man Aaron Judge will still be playing at that point as well. Today's news is he's nominated again for the Hank Aaron Award, which he's already won twice. The only guys to win more of those are Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds. That's the best offensive player in the league, and there's no doubt in my mind that's who he is. I still think he's going to be the MVP, but what he wants is that World Series. So they're up against it, and it'll be interesting to see if they can pull it off.
By the way, along those lines, if people aren't familiar with how the process works, the voting for the MVP took place at the end of the regular season, but they don't announce it until after the season has wrapped up. And for the Yankees, boy, I'll tell you what, they're going to be very glad to get out of Toronto because it was two really bad games for them, and they're going to have to go home and win a couple or the season is going to end. We'll have those games for you, including tomorrow on 1430. Paul, the last thing for you, as far as, and I agree with you, it's one game at a time, as far as what you're seeing from this club right now going forward, do you dare at all? I know the coaches can't and the players can't, but I know you're always looking. Do you dare at all to allow yourself the what if this team can put this together the rest of the way? How would you believe their chances would sit to be that group of five participant in the playoff? Something, you know, we never could have a discussion about this until they expanded it, but it's out there now for somebody. Do you like this team's chances?
You know, that's a wait to be seen situation, because that's, you know, winning the conference championship, they control that. If they keep winning, if they win the rest of their games, they'll be conference champions, right? That much they know. If they go 8-0, they're going to be in a conference title game, and then they'd have a chance to win it. So that is within their control. Being the group of five representative in the playoff is out of their control because it depends on what's happening in another league. But I think parity is such in all of these leagues. I don't see a dominant group of five team out there anyway, anywhere. And I think the gap, unfortunately, and this was pretty predictable, but the gap between the power schools and the non-power schools has grown. The money has necessitated that. And so I think it's created more parity at both levels, at the power level and the next level. Look what Texas Tech is doing, has spent its way into a top 10 ranking, right? So the teams that have really invested and invested wisely at the highest level, all of a sudden they have a chance to do things before they probably wouldn't. And now you're seeing that because of all those teams that said, hey, we can buy our way to success, and they actually had the resources to do it, it's so exponentially different, the TV money at that level compared to where the Bulldogs are, that gap has grown. So it's also, I think, created more parity on the non-power level where it's really wide open in just about every one of these leagues, and truly anything can happen. And then you have the added element, Tony, that, you know, at least in my mind, it's so much easier for a coaching staff to lose a locker room now because NIL and transfer portal both have nuclear potential to disrupt your locker room at any moment. So I think you could have a team that right now looks like they're the team to beat as far as the non-power schools, but one guy thinks about the transfer portal or some rumor comes in or one injury, and all of a sudden they're off the map. So I think the best thing is keep focused on that prize of making the Mountain West title game, and you may look up that day when you're playing for a title and say, hey, we might just be the team that gets to play in the playoffs.
Well, Panish, again, was right on Friday. It's just win, baby. That's all there is to it. Paul, let you go. One 30-second answer, if you can give it to me. What is the promise of Walton coming back to play now at Fort Collins? Too soon? What about it?
You know, he did dress the other night, which is great progress. We'll see. I think that's up to him and the coaches with another bye waiting on the other side of it.
Right.
The chance to give him two more weeks. I mean, that would seem like the prudent thing to do. But you know how 18, 19-year-old kids are. They want to get out there and compete. And he's a talented young man who I think is going to play in the NFL someday. So if he can prove that he's 100% and there's no risk, I think we will see him out there Friday night.
Your point is well taken, and I think the Mad Ends more than likely is going to say, let's go ahead and worry about it at San Diego State. But you may be right. He may beg his way in. We'll see what happens. Paul, appreciate it. Have a great one. A week from tonight, we're going to have the banquet for the men, basketball-wise. The women are coming up on Tuesday, so it's a busy time. Appreciate it, my friend. I'll be in touch.
Yeah, Tony, and people who haven't signed up yet, I know we're past the deadline, but I think we can still squeeze in a few more for that timeout club tip-off dinner Monday night. So if you want to be there and hear from the players, some great auction prizes, it's going to be an awesome night. So anybody out there listening, show up Monday night, and if they give you a hard time, tell them I told them that they'd have a ticket for you. Fair enough?
Yes, I will certainly mention that to them. Paul, appreciate it. I'll be in touch, my friend. Take care. We'll see you.
Tony.
All right, guys, Paul Leffler, take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil, 2 hours of his fine show behind the bench, and then it's Major Wager Monday. Good matchup tonight. Chiefs, Jags, we'll talk about that as well after the break as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. About 3-4 minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil, his fine show behind the bench. 2 hours today, and then it's off to Major Wager Monday. Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Great conversation. If you want to stop on by, tell everybody how you feel about the game, the Chiefs and the Jags, big screen TV, the great food of me and Ed's, everything me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota. Get there by 5 o'clock, 5:15, kick it off on ESPN tonight. As far as our upcoming schedule, it's brought to you by Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, precisionemg.net or 449-4500 for more information. and Ed does a great job of benefiting the Lyles College of Engineering on campus with fundraising. He had a proud graduate there, and a lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering on campus head right to Precision Civil Engineering to do their work all across the valley, and we thank them for their sponsorship each and every day. As far as the lineup goes, again, 5:15 the kick, 5 o'clock the coverage, Westwood 1, 14:30 for the Chiefs and the Jags. Over on 790 in about 10 minutes, game 2 from Philly, Dodgers winning on the Hernandezes, both of them, Kike, with the hit early on, and then we know that the Oscar had the big homer and the Dodgers win, so the Phils in this best 3 of 5 really need to win. If not, they go back to Dodger Stadium down 0-2. After that one wraps up, it is time through ESPN Radio with both games for Game 2 as the Cubs try to get off the deck after getting swatted around pretty good against a really good Brewers team. That will be the game in Milwaukee after the Dodgers and the Phils wrap up. And then earlier tomorrow at 1 o'clock, you'll have a game, and then you've got the Yankees at 5. I'll tell you about that tomorrow when we jump on air with, of course, our de facto co-host Jackson Moore. The other reminders for you, again, Phil's show normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, the fine show that Behind the Bench is. You can reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430 on Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rad Avedikian, great Yankee fan, by the way. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. And you've got the great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. Palmetto's two fine shows. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on our sister station, The Deuce 790, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. And the long-running show on 1430 from First Ring Sports on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon. That is Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you each and every weekday at 2 o'clock. You can reach me, TDAD1, at att.net, TDAD, the number 1, at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430, ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcasts there. Get the app. It makes it a lot easier to listen. Have high school football coverage toward the end of the week. And as I mentioned before, everything from the NFL, 49ers, Raiders, and Ram games. 49ers, we'll see if their magic like Fresno State can last as they go to Tampa against a very resilient Tampa Bay Bucs team. I'll tell you more about that later in the week. We also, of course, have everything from ESPN Radio through the World Series. The Lakers are coming up in just a couple of weeks. I'll talk more about that with Jack Furtigo on Wednesday. The Lakers, a lot of talent. The Warriors, a lot of talent. But the entire Western Conference is just a monster, including the defending world champion club that should be back in Seattle but is in OKC. But Seattle's going to get their team just like Vegas is going to get an expansion franchise. But we have the NBA all the way through the finals through ESPN. So we're covering everything nationally, regionally, and locally. So it's everything we can possibly do on both 1430 and 790. And we thank everybody for listening. And finally, we want to thank our other sponsors in addition to Ed Dunkel and the gang at Precision Civil Engineering. And that's Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, and Kerman. Keep in mind, they have the Tuesday $10 eight-piece bucket deal, the Wednesday country fried steak for $5.99, and other specials I'll tell you about throughout the week. It's great to have them aboard, an international, national, and local company helping out everything in the Central Valley. Anyway, thanks to Jorge. Thanks, as always, to Paul. I'll talk to Jackson tomorrow. You've got Phil coming up for 2 hours, and then Carter and the gang, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Major Wager Monday tonight, the Chiefs and the Jags. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.